Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
Morning, church, both here and online. This morning's Bible reading can be found in Luke chapter 5, and we're reading verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thanks, Greg and Rhonda. Good morning. It's good to have you here this morning, and good to be back. As Rhonda mentioned in her prayer, I was down in Hobart at the National Senior Pastors Gathering, a gathering of Baptist pastors of some of the larger churches across Australia. So from Perth and Tassie and ACT, don't think we had anyone from the Northern Territories this year, but from Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales, a really refreshing time. I go every year. It's outstanding, but it was nice and cold as well, which is fantastic. Where on Mount Wellington, it was like -3 with the wind chills. Great. Maybe it was just me. Apparently, it was just me. For those of you who are visiting or with us online, we are in the second week of a very short reflection on our theme, Our Extraordinary Life Together. And one of the things that we've been doing as part of this theme has been paying a little bit more attention to the church calendar. And if you're familiar with the church calendar, you'll know that it's just a little bit more of observation than normal. But one of the things that we've been doing is we've been marking the changes in the church seasons. So if you were here last week, you may have noticed that we moved from the whites of the season of Easter to the orange and reds for the day of Pentecost, which was last Sunday, and now we are into the greens of what's known as ordinary time, which sounds great for an extraordinary life together. Ordinary time is not quite as dull as it might appear. I think if I understand the origins of the word correctly, it comes from the Latin ordinal, which is things counted. It is the counting of our days, and it's the longest part of the church calendar. It takes us from now basically until the season of Advent, which is in the preparation for Christmas. And if Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, and Easter, of course, is about his death and resurrection, then ordinary time is focused on the teachings of Jesus and the responsibility of his followers to continue to grow in our understanding of who he is, in behaviors that are appropriate for our understanding of who he is and in our faith in Jesus. And so we wanted to pause this morning and talk a little bit about what it means for us to follow Jesus. And I've chosen this passage out of Luke. Luke has kind of become our gospel for the year. If you remember Sesame Street, you know, the letter of the day, it's kind of the gospel of the year is the gospel of Luke. So whenever we've kind of been turning to the gospels, we've been turning to Luke's gospel, and wanted to look at this passage in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus calls his first disciples. And I want to draw your attention to something really quite significant in how Jesus calls Peter and his companions, who are fishermen. The story itself is fairly straightforward, isn't it? Like, it's not a very complicated story. It's not a whodunit. We're not on the edge of our seats as we kind of read that story through. But it's quite a remarkable story nonetheless. So it opens with Jesus teaching. That's what Jesus has come to do. So if you read the previous section, Jesus has healed a whole bunch of people in Capernaum. He's gone out to a solitary place to pray. They found him. They want him to do more miraculous stuff. And he's basically said, I have to go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom to the surrounding towns. That's why I've been sent. So we find Jesus sometime later back in Capernaum, and he is once again teaching the people, because that is what he has been sent to do. He's outside of the city of Capernaum, a small town, so probably to get out and have enough space for everybody, but also because there are a number of places on the Sea of Galilee that formed kind of natural amphitheaters. They were kind of places where Jesus could teach from the shore and be heard quite a ways up the hill. So Jesus is gathered, there's a crowd, they're kind of pushing against him, and I suppose because he needed to be heard, he steps into some boats that were nearby. One of them belongs to Simon. Jesus has already met Simon. It was Simon's home that he went to after he had attended the synagogue in the previous chapter. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever and had stayed with him, and so he gets into the boat and asks Simon to put out a ways. And so they row out, I don't know, a couple of meters, beats me, where Jesus can be heard by the crowds on the shore, and Jesus continues to preach. When he finishes preaching, he turns to Peter and says, put out and put the nets down again. Did you hear Peter's response to him? I'd love to know the tone. I'd love to know the tone, because it sounds to me like Peter is just humoring the rabbi, right? It almost feels like he wants to say, you're a carpenter, right? Yeah. So, like, we've done this all night. Didn't catch anything. This is a bad time to do it. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, but the commentators that I read, who I suspect are also not much fishermen, suggest that the nets that they were using were linen. And one of the reasons they fished at night was because if you fished during the day, the fish could see the net. And so this is just a horrible time to go fishing. And so Peter humors him. He obviously was not expecting a miracle, because he doesn't ask the other boat to come out, right? He just says, okay, Lord, sure. Let's go out. Drops the nets in and catches lots and lots of fish. Like a lot of fish. So many so that the nets that he has been tending to from the night's work are beginning to break. Calls his companions, they come out, they end up filling both boats with so many fish that the boats begin to sink. Peter falls at Jesus' knees, as you heard, and he says, Lord, go away from me, I'm a sinful man, which is a little bit reminiscent of Isaiah's call to prophetic ministry. You might remember in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees the Lord in the temple, and his first response is to say, woe is me. Good biblical language, right? Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And an angel, one of the seraphim, the attending angels around the throne of God, grabs a coal from the altar and touches his lips and says, now your lips have been cleaned. And then he is sent into his ministry, which is essentially what Peter gets here, right? Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He recognizes something in what Jesus has just done that kind of reminds him of who he is. This revelation of God that's appeared before him, causes him to realize, I'm not worthy. Now, I love Jesus' response, just as an aside, because he never responds to Peter's declaration of being a sinner. Did you notice that? Jesus doesn't open with, yep, you are, but guess what? I'm going to call you anyways. Nor does he say, you're being too hard on yourself. Which I think is really important, because ultimately it's not Peter's righteousness, his holiness, his great faith, his amazing knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures. None of those things are why Jesus calls him. He doesn't say to Peter, oh, good, I needed to have a desperately wicked person so I could demonstrate my goodness. Nor does he say, you're pretty close, you're a pretty good guy, so we're going to work with what we've got. Jesus doesn't care, shall I say. He then opens with, do not be afraid, which reinforces this idea that in the miraculous catch of fish, which I'll come back to a little bit later on, but in this miraculous catch of fish, Jesus' glory has somehow been revealed. Because his first response to Peter is, do not be afraid, which is the phrase that comes from the lips of nearly every angel who ever appears to anyone in Scripture, right? There's a revelation of God's glory. There's a revelation of God's messenger. The people fall down in fear. And the very first thing that they have to say before they get to the message is, do not be afraid. There's a revelation that's taken place in the boat. Peter's response is, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus responds by saying, don't be afraid. Yes, this is a revelation. From now on, however, you will fish for people. They pull the boats up, leave everything, follow Jesus. Pretty simple story, isn't it? Not particularly spectacular in lots of ways. It kind of follows the rest of the Gospels where we find that Jesus finds followers. The same kind of story with some slightly different details is told in Matthew's Gospel. It's told in Mark's account as well. But I want to draw your attention to a couple of things within this. Because while Peter ends up following Jesus and does so in a very radical way, right? He leaves his nets behind. He leaves his boats behind. And he enters into an apprenticeship / internship program, right? While we see Peter fishing from time to time, he never goes back to that occupation. He never goes back to that vocation. He begins to do something new, becomes a leader of the early church. As we saw last week, when the Spirit of God is poured out on everybody, it's Peter who speaks, right? Which at one level then, of course, means that the invitation that Luke includes here to follow Jesus feels a little exclusive, doesn't it? If I say, look at what Luke said to what Jesus said to Peter is what Jesus says to all of you, come follow me. We think, well, I'm not sure I'm going to leave everything behind and do something new. Doesn't feel like this is a call for all of us. It feels like a very specific call for Peter. But I want to draw your attention to some of the features of this story, which I think point out the fact that Jesus' call to follow him in what has become, for the church calendar, ordinary time, is actually made in the context of your vocation. If you've been around since the start of the year, you know we did a series earlier in the year called Good Job, talking about vocation and faith and finding where our faith and our vocation, that which we do with intent and purpose, whether it's paid work or unpaid work, voluntary work or work with our families, caring for children or caring for elderly parents, whatever it is that we do with intent and purpose becomes our vocation. And one of the things that I wanted to draw your attention to in that series was that your work, for your work to become, shall we say, faithful work, doesn't mean that you have to be sharing your faith with those you work with. If you get the opportunity to do so, please do so. But for the majority of you, your work is not to share your faith. Your work is to write program. Your work is to serve customers. Your work is to supervise and organize projects that your department are working on. Your job is to teach your class math. And while you can get to Jesus from any of those places, ultimately, when we bring order out of chaos, when we provide for people, when we provide security and knowledge and understanding and wisdom, we are doing the good work. You remember that series? Well, I want to come back to that. Because there's something fascinating in the way in which Peter is called. And apart from the fact that he leaves his boat and follows Jesus, I believe that it holds a pattern for us. So let me begin. Jesus is teaching. We're not told what he's teaching, but did you notice where Peter and his companions were? They were not in the crowd listening. They were working. They had spent all night fishing, had caught nothing, which I'm sure happened from time to time, and were finishing their work day by cleaning and fixing the nets so they were ready for tonight. Jesus is teaching off to one side. It's only when the crowd begins to push in that he goes over to Peter's boat, steps into one and says, "Can you put out a little ways?" Peter was working. Then I want you to notice where and how Jesus is revealed to Peter. Because it is a miracle, as you're going to find in Scripture. No one is healed. There's not this amazing healing of a leper made clean, or a blind person who sees, or a paralytic who walks away, or someone who's deaf who goes away hearing the praises of God's people. There's no extraordinary miracle of Jesus controlling nature, causing a storm front to circle wide around so he can continue to teach in the calm. It's just a bunch of fish. I'm sure Peter and his companions had had some good fishing days when the nets had been full, when the boats had been full. This might have been a few more fish than normal, two boats full to overflowing, and in fact, taking on water. But it's kind of as ordinary a miracle as you're going to find, isn't it? And Jesus is revealed not only in an ordinary miracle, but in the very heart of Peter's vocation. Isn't it amazing that Jesus reveals himself not in this spectacular teaching where Peter's overhearing it and kind of goes, "Oh, wow, never heard Scripture explained that way before. I'm throwing my nets away." It's nothing extraordinary. It's in his vocation. Jesus is doing his work, and he does that work in Peter's own space and reveals himself in the very things that Peter does. Is that cool? And then Jesus calls Peter, and he uses the idiom of Peter's own vocation. "From now on, you will fish for people," which is a really weird way to put it. Because Jesus never returns to it. You read the rest of Luke. I don't think fish are mentioned again. Jesus just calls them in kind of fishy language and wanders away. I think that's fascinating. Never returns to it again. And then in the midst of that call, as Jesus finds and reveals himself in the very midst of what Peter does, and like what Peter doesn't take the fish and feed the crowd and say, "Jesus is the fish of life." Jesus doesn't take the fish and go, "Did you just see what Jesus did? Like, that's a heap of fish. We should all believe in him." He doesn't preach a sermon. He just brings the fish on shore, which is exactly what fishermen do all the time. And in the midst of that, God is revealed. Now, there may be some of you here this morning who have been wrestling with a call from God that is asking you to leave your boats and your fishing nets behind and to do something new. To step out in faith and go into something completely different. That may be some of you here this morning. You may need to kind of pull a Peter, shall we say. Leave everything behind and follow Jesus into what that new thing is. And if that is you, what I'm about to say does not let you off the hook of grappling with that call from God. However, I suspect that the vast majority of us here this morning are Peters with a vocation that is meaningful and significant, provides satisfaction and contentment in some way, shape, and form for us, that sits with our skills and our abilities, that provides. And that's the place that we've called to be. That's the place we're called to stay. And I want to encourage you in ordinary time to follow Jesus in your vocation. To remember that it is in your work, getting the family up, making lunches, getting them to their after-school appointments, caring for your elderly parents and getting them to their doctor's appointments, volunteering in the various places that you may, on boards or on associations and clubs, working paid or part-time, studying part-time or full-time, doing one of several jobs or doing one thing, whatever that might be, and whatever industry you might find yourself, follow Jesus there. Because Jesus is at work there. Jesus is at work there. I'd like you to consider how Jesus is calling you to follow him in the idiom of your own vocation. So think for a moment, what do you do? What's your vocation? Again, that can be work, paid or unpaid, part-time or full-time. What do you do with intent and purpose in your life? Hold that in your head for a moment. If Jesus were to call you as he called Peter, if he were to say to you, do not be afraid, from now on you will, dot, 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 how would you fill that in? Don't be afraid. From now on, you will teach people in the paths of righteousness. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will bring the little children to me. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be building dwelling places for the heavens. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be dot, dot, dot. Because that is where you and I are called to follow Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus in our classrooms and in our boardrooms and in our workshops. We are called to follow Jesus with our families. We are called to follow Jesus in every area where we exert ourselves. Everything. Because that's where Jesus is at work. And again, let me remind you that while there may be an opportunity for you to share your faith, ultimately, it is in your work that Jesus is revealed. It's in the fish in the net. It's the lesson delivered. It's the project completed. It is the project done. It is in the session that is concluded. It is in that work that Jesus can be revealed. As you bring about order from chaos, as you provide benefits for those around you, as you are engaged in your task, you are called to follow Jesus. What does it look like for you to follow Jesus in your work? Because it's probably not going to look like stopping for an hour to read the Bible, study some theological text, and pray. Because that's not your job. You're supposed to be teaching grammar. So what does it look like to hand those things over to the Lord, to be working with the Lord, to be on the lookout for where he might be asking to step into your boat, for you to put out a little way so that he can continue to teach? Where is Jesus looking to be revealed in your day-to-day activity? And what is he calling you to do as you follow after him? Because we are entering ordinary time. When we focus on the teachings of Jesus and we focus on what it means for us to follow him. So there's your challenge. Both to consider how Jesus has called you to follow him in your vocation and then to be on the lookout for where he might want to be revealed in what you do. Not necessarily an easy journey, but a really important one for us to be involved in. You got it in your heads? Have you heard the call of Jesus? Well, I want to pray for us. I'm going to invite the team up. And I want to remind you that we're going to have some people from our prayer teams down kind of in front of the panels here on either side. If you'd like to pray that you would hear more clearly the call of Jesus in your vocation, if you'd like to hear a little bit more clearly what it is that you are called to do as you follow him in the things that you do with intent and purpose, we'd love to pray for you. And if you are one of those people who have been feeling the call of God to leave everything behind and head out in a different direction, we'd love to pray with you too. And if none of those things fit and you just like some prayer, we'd love to pray for that too. But can I lead us in a prayer as we consider how we follow Jesus, and then we'll continue in our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us in Christ Jesus to follow you. And while there may be times and places where that calling is very, very specific and has, shall we say, some very overtly spiritual components to it, most of the time, we follow you in our day-to-day activities. In the very ordinary aspects of our day-to-day lives, we find you. And I pray for each one of us here that we might respond to your call to follow you. Whether we are working part-time or full-time, whether we are studying in preparation for work, whether we have retired from work and are now in very different stage of life, we pray that we might look for your calling, that we might hear your calling and respond in obedience and faith. We thank you that like Peter, it doesn't come down to how much we know or how spectacular our faith is or how little we might sin. It comes down to your calling in our lives. And I pray for us as a community of faith that wherever you send us this week, we might go in your power and your authority and in your presence in order that we might see lives changed by Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.